Well, good morning. As we finished our series in the book of Hebrews last week, I was just drawn to one passage in the book of Hebrews that really challenged me. And I wanted just to focus our attention on this particular passage because, in some ways, I just feel it is something that we may be losing in our society, in the world we're living in at the moment. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Today, Lord, as we come around your word again, we just thank you for an opportunity again just to hear from you. I just pray that you would speak to us through your word. We ask that in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. The verse I'm talking about is found in the end of Hebrews chapter 12. And the two verses say this, verse 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It's been a little bit of a frustrating week, in fact, frustrating 2 weeks. Everything I've wanted to do, I haven't been able to do. I've set myself goals every day, and every day, just once I've set them, something else arises and distracts me from what I've been able to do. And I've just been kind of losing focus. And I wonder about us, whether we're losing focus. Friends, this verse just kind of reminds me of the importance of what it's all about. We've been using this little slogan as our theme. It's all about Jesus. But I wondered if our lives really is all about Jesus. We're so easily distracted. We're so easily drawn away from what we should be focusing on. And so I wanted just to focus on these two verses in Hebrews chapter 12. I wonder if you've ever thought about what worship in heaven is going to be like. I think it's just going to be an absolutely amazing experience being in the presence of Jesus all the time. And there's some things that out of this passage that help us just understand why we should be worshiping and what worshiping does for us. There are two main points I want to make this morning. The first one is this. Friends, worship focuses our attention on our eternal salvation, on what God has done for us. Verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Friends, that should move us to worship. As we've gone through this book of Hebrews, then be reminded that Jesus is superior to anything and everything we could possibly come across in any religious experience. Friends, we're receiving that kingdom. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is trying to, the point he's trying to make to these folk that he's writing to. He's trying to remind them that don't sweat the small stuff. Focus your attention on all that God has done for you. And I want to just focus our attention a little bit on what, again, our eternal salvation is all about. First of all, our salvation, friends, saves us from eternal suffering. I just wonder if you just kind of grasp that. In the story that Jesus tells about Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus kind of being at the foot of the table of, or at the on the ground at the table of the rich man, and the rich man throwing some bones down to him every now and then for him to eat, and then eventually them both dying, and one goes to heaven and the other one goes to hell. It says this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell. where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Folk, do we comprehend what hell is like? You know, we kind of just think of it so lightly. The world around us kind of just ignores consequences. Friends, let's just remember what we've been saved from. Eternal damnation, eternal suffering. I wonder if you've ever burnt yourself. You know, when a man burns himself, particularly if he's at a braai, oh man, he tries to hide that all the time. He'll make as if there's nothing wrong with him. Meanwhile, we all know what a burn is like. It just pulses and just kind of seems to get more intense as time goes on. And friends, that's the experience that the writer to the Hebrews is trying to remind them. You're receiving this kingdom, friends. It's a kingdom that saved you from eternal judgment and eternal suffering, friends. Surely that alone should kind of put us on our knees and worship and awe and wonder and praise of who God is. Friends, secondly, our salvation, friends, has given us purpose in life. Romans 12 verse 1 says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Friends, our lives have purpose now. We're no longer just kind of going about doing nothing. We've got a goal in life. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." Friends, we can serve the purposes of God. We are fulfilling what we were created to do. Friends, I don't know if you fully comprehend that, but the person without Christ is just existing. There's no meaning to their lives. Their lives, in the end, whatever they've accumulated will be lost, whether it's finances, whether it's knowledge, whatever it may be, friends, whether it is achievements, friends, all those things will be lost because they're not serving the purposes of God. Friends, we should never forget that God has called us into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Friends, we've got purpose. Let's not lose sight of that. Again, that should, as it says, this should become our spiritual act of worship. We should be worshiping God at every moment because of what he has done in our lives. Thirdly, our friends, our salvation makes us part of God's family. Oh man, what an incredible concept. Ephesians reminds us of that in chapter 2 in verses 19 to 22. It says, "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built into a foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple to the God. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." You're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. What an incredible concept, friends, where the Apostle Paul talks about us as being grafted in. I don't care if I'm grafted in. Man, I'm glad I'm just part of the tree, part of the family tree. Having moved down to this Eastern Cape area, it's been just wonderful to kind of see some of my family heritage. We're part of a group of, a Facebook group of German settlers in the Eastern Cape, and every now and then I see my family name popping up there, and it just gives you a little bit of root. But friends, we're part of God's family. That's what we are. We're friends. That should just make us want to worship God. We're not an alien. We're not kind of rejected. If you think of our own country, friends, I'm kind of always amazed at the rejection of foreigners in our country. You know, there were times, friends, when our people were living in foreign countries. But friends, they were accepted there. But now that we have freedom, and now we want to prevent foreigners from entering in our own country. But friends, we're part of God's family. We're all part of the human family, but we're part of God's family. That's what salvation does for us. It grafts us in to the family tree of God. Fourthly, salvation, friends, gives you hope in a hopeless society. Listen to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Friends, we have hope in a hopeless society. Friends, the world's in a mess. Friends, but we have a hope. We have a hope for eternity. We have a hope even for this world, friends. But our hope is ultimately for eternity. And what a great encouragement that is for us, friends. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that builds into that hope for us, friends. The hope is that our salvation cannot be shaken in any way at all. What a motivation for us to worship. Friends, the world around you, they don't have any reason to worship. But we have reason to every day bend the knee before God and worship him and honor him. Fifthly, friends, our salvation elevates our status in society. Listen to these two great passages. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, what incredible titles. We're the chosen. At one stage, Israel was the chosen nation. But friends, as God's people, we are the chosen. We have become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God. What a great encouragement and the ultimate friends of identity that we have is in 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Friends, you're important. You're important because you're a child of God's. You're not a child of this world. You're not a child of the devil or Satan or the evil one. Friend, you're not even a child of your parents, or as important as that may be, most importantly, friend, you're a child of God. And there can be no greater status in this world than that. You belong to Him, and He belongs to you. You, His child, and He's your Father. Sixthly, friends, our salvation reminds us to keep Jesus ever before us. The earlier verses in Hebrews 12 that we're focusing on says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, if there's no other reason for us to have studied the book of Hebrews other than this one, that it's focused our attention on Christ. Friends, Jesus is, as we go into the Christmas season, that wonderful little saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Friend, let's remember that as we go into this Christmas period. Jesus is the reason for the season. There's nothing else that's more important than that. Nothing else that reminds us of our salvation, friends, more than what Jesus has done for us. So why should we worship? Well, we should worship because it focuses our attention on what God has done for us. But secondly, it forces us, friends, to acknowledge who God is. That God's an awesome God. Verse 29 says, our God, friends, is a consuming fire. Why should we worship? Friends, because God is not to be messed around with. God isn't somebody that we can just, you know, kind of one week decide that, you know, we want to pay Him some homage and the next week not worry about it. Friends, God demands our attention. This particular verse, our God is a consuming fire, comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is reminding Israel of what God had done for them. I want to just read some of it for us. He says, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live long and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Don't add to them or subtract from them, but keep the commands of the Lord your God. And then he goes on to kind of talk about some of the issues the nation of Israel faced and as they were going through the wilderness. And he reminds them about, hey man, God, don't mess with God. As you saw as they went through the wilderness, but in verse 14, he says this, as he was talking about when God brought them the Ten Commandments, he says, then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form, for there was no voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and you are to follow and then wrote them on two tablets of stone. Friends, God spoke through fire. And then at the end of the chapter, he says this, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Don't make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Friends, why should we worship? Friends, as simply as Moses reminded Israel, there is nobody else but God who we can worship. The God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Friends, the God of Jesus, the God who is Jesus himself. Friends, fix your eyes on Jesus. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, because we have salvation, friends, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Friends, God is worthy of our worship. God will not be fooled around with. God demands that we acknowledge who he is, and what he has done for us. Let us worship him. Let's pray together. Lord, receive our worship. Forgive us, Lord, from time to time, from just kind of losing focus a little bit. But help us, Lord, to keep focus on you at all points in time. We just pray this to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.